Well, I mean, you would understand really that there is an argument that the sanctions regime that is imposed on Harare by Washington is not a comprehensive economic sanctions regime, which is why Washington still is heavily involved in assisting Zimbabwe in various other ways other than giving money directly, for instance, to Treasury. But various other ways would include emergency services where people really need rescue, emergency services where hunger would have hit and food insecurity would have hit. You would also understand that the United States government, from what I understand, are involved in many community development projects that are done through various arms of their own operations, the USAID and many other operations. So they have always been involved in the development of the people of Zimbabwe. You would even also understand that they are heavily involved in the education sector, where each and every year quite a good number of Zimbabweans do fly several miles into the United States of America, where they acquire education at university level. And I think that's a good gesture. So I think if Mr. Wharton is talking about the improvement of relationships, he might be referring to that. I wouldn't know what exactly is sitting in his text, but I would imagine that he did not come and then stop whatever was happening between Zimbabwe and the United States government in terms of development cooperation.
Mr. Mabenge, what about the sanctions regime itself?
On the issue of the sanctions regime that is imposed on Harare by Washington, I think one thing that we must all understand is that the sanctions regime is contained in an act that was passed by U.S. Congress, the Zimbabwe Democracy and Economic Recovery Act, ZIDERA. That in my understanding, it also takes the very same Congress to reverse or to undo that that act. Therefore, it would not have been possible for Ambassador Wharton to do anything in terms of ensuring that the sanctions are lifted. In fact, if anything, it is the responsibility of the government of Zimbabwe, led by President Mugabe, to ensure that they do that which they must have done. They must respect the rule of law. They must uphold human and people's rights. They must do so many things that are really, really known that they are not doing. If I'm talking to you right now today, and it's 7 months down the line, and journalist come activist Itai Dzamara is still missing, and the government of Zimbabwe has not taken full responsibility, even if information is pointing to the fact that he may have been, or the allegations that he may have been abducted by state security agents, who is the U.S. Government to lift sanctions if the Zimbabwean government itself is not complying with that, which would make the sanctions regime or the restrictive measures get lifted. So I think it is about the government of Zimbabwe having to do a little more than they have done in terms of that which they know they must do, that which led the U.S. government to impose the sanctions regime that is there.
And Mr. Wharton says that the future of Zimbabwe lies largely in the hands of Zimbabweans. What can Zimbabweans do?
Sandra, we have gone full circle in terms of international assistance since about the year 2000. You would agree with me that there have been several attempts of regional negotiations, the one that was led by former President Thabo Mbeki and former President Obasanjo around 2002. And then the fairly successful one, and you must understand what I mean when I say fairly successful one, which was led by South Africa again at the instigation of SADC and the AU. We have gone full circle, and we know what sits in international or regional mediation. After 2013, we had anticipated that things would be better, but here we are, back to where we were several years back. The economy is not ticking. Politically, things are not ticking. We are in an environment of uncertainty, and we do not know what the future holds in terms of when President Mugabe eventually leaves office. But you see, clearly, it takes us as Zimbabweans to keep applying pressure on the powers that be to understand that it is important for them to afford us an opportunity to at least leave the constitution that we wrote for ourselves and the constitution that we adopted in 2013. Inside that constitution sits many many reform aspects, many political reform aspects, many institutional reform aspects. In fact, we said, if anything, that as a country we must do things differently. And we are waiting for those that are governing to ensure that things are done differently. But as we wait, we keep applying pressure. And so I think that there is an element of political will, and there is an element of pressure that we as citizens need to continue applying. However, that said, we are not yet in that situation where we would say we do not absolutely need regional and international solidarity in terms of assistance to attain the push towards social justice and democracy. We still need our international friends. We still need our regional SADC friends. We still need our continental friends across Africa to accompany us in this journey that they have chosen to accompany us, because they know for a fact that Zimbabwe has potential, and the more they assist us, the more they assist the efforts that we are putting in as Zimbabweans, the more that we probably will get into something that is going to give life to the people of Zimbabwe.
Lastly, Mr. Watson says during his term, what he learned more by being in Zimbabwe was the resilience of the people of Zimbabwe during this, you know, economic crisis that has ravaged Zimbabwe for more than a decade now. Do you think Zimbabweans can take any more?
The resilience of Zimbabweans is unmatched. We on several occasions reach what analysts would call a tipping point, but always there is a way we navigate our way outside tipping points, and we get back to... In fact, Zimbabweans are a very peaceful lot. That's what I can say. And Zimbabweans have seen worse than what we are currently seeing. What else would you want to see other than a country that had hyperinflation that was in excess of millions? What else would you have wanted to see than a country that had no single drop of fuel? What else would you have wanted to see than a country that did not have sugar, that did not have bread, that did not have millennium? The crisis that we see today, the economic crisis that we see today, is fundamentally different from the one that we saw prior to 2008. In fact, what we see now is deepening of inequality, where those that have more and those that don't have. In fact, we have products that we cannot buy, products that we cannot purchase. Having said that, however, the government must be warned that they cannot take advantage of the people and expect to continue banking on the resilience that has been shown by Zimbabweans over the years. If anything, if people continuously get pushed to the edge, especially where they can see food and cannot access it, they become a very dangerous lot. And what I can say is that the government of the day needs to quickly get a conversation and dialogue going that cuts across the political divide, that cuts across that which divides us as Zimbabweans, and bring us together and try and find a quick solution to resolving the economic crisis, because that which is economic is also sitting with political connotations.